It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic Molly.
I have ever been. It is a beautiful sunny day.
A beautiful sunny day in Pilsen. It is March something.
It is March. It's March madness and March gladness if you're experiencing this warm spring weather. The weekly forecast calls for temperatures in the 60s and sunny this week.
70.
70
on Wednesday.
70 on
Wednesday.
Could be
an all-time high.
Yes.
Ever in the history of the world.
The history of the world could make history this Wednesday when temperatures might hit 70. The forecast for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Oh, with heavy hearts, we're talking with you. As today, Ricky Rubio, after trying to draw a charge off of Kobe Bryant last night, has torn his ACL and will miss the season. And the Timberwolves, which are currently ninth in the West, featuring the best power forward in basketball,
right,
will not make the playoffs.
Oh, was LaMarcus Aldridge traded?
I'm glad you got your Aldridge in early, Matthew. All right, Matt. What the fuck? I mean, Rubio's been slumping lately. He's been shooting about 30%, I think, for the last month, but this is sad. It's just sad. He's also going to miss the Olympics.
Oh, wow.
A huge hit for the Spanish team.
That is a huge hit for the Spanish team.
What do they got now? They got Calderon and...
The Gasol brothers.
Yeah, but I mean, at the point.
Oh, at the point. Oh, I don't know who they have besides Calderon.
Is JJ Barea Spanish? Spain...
No, I think that's racist. Spain was going to be America's top rival, right?
The only rival. I mean, there really isn't anybody else. I mean, after the last game where Spain outplayed the U.S. and still lost it. Did you just disagree with me?
No, I said
You shook your head when you said it. Spain outplayed the U.S. in the awesome Olympic game, however, 4 years ago, whatever that was.
Right.
Which was played at midnight, which is where there should always be basketball games at midnight on Saturdays, I think.
Yeah. Why are there more midnight basketball games? Why do basketball games start so early?
I don't know.
Like, half of the Bulls games this year have started at, like, 6 o'clock.
That's ridiculous.
Like, 6 o'clock. Like
we're working on Indiana's dumbass, like, daylight savings. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't schedule. It's terrible.
Yeah. I've seen almost every Bulls game this year, but I've seen very few games from start to finish. Anyway, I mean, so...
Rubio,
I think like the most important question we should be asking about this is that the torn ACL in the medical world of 2012, does this mean that Ricky Rubio has permanently lost his explosiveness, or
no.
Can we now...
I don't think so.
Can he make a full recovery then?
Yes.
Okay, so at this time next year, we'll be seeing Ricky Rubio.
I think it'll take an extra year. I think we still have the extra year clause on there. I think it'll probably be 2 years till he's back, but... It's very sad. It's a sad thing.
Yeah, and it's very sad for the good people of Minnesota who have been witnessing, you know, just another Rick Adelman renaissance. I mean, Rick Adelman, you know, this guy, you know, revitalizing another, you know, downtrodden NBA franchise like he did with Sacramento. Like he did with Portland, you know, and you know, I thought that they were gonna sneak into the Western playoffs.
But yeah,
much like Sacramento in '99, Adelman's first year with the Kings.
But now they got Luke Ridenhour taking the final shot of the game. Now, and that's not good.
And defending Luke Ridenhour, a really bad defender, probably worse than David Gleicher defensively.
It's true.
Another question from the Rubio injury is, does this make everyone remember that Kobe Bryant is evil? What does this do?
No, I think the mask did that. The black mask that he tried out for that quarter. I think he wanted to let us all know he's still a really vile rapist.
Will Kobe Bryant break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record?
Yes.
Will anyone care when he does it?
Yes, he will. Kareem will care.
Kobe Bryant and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar might be two of the least liked players in NBA history.
I would agree with that.
But So I guess another question now is sort of the West is shaking out more.
Yep.
Right now, we have.
But nobody's going to beat Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City is, well, still way ahead of everyone. But then we have this lump of teams with the Spurs, the Clippers,
Spurs
the
four
Lakers.
And a half back, and then everybody else seven back.
But the Grizzlies now are seven back, and this is still with Zach Randolph, you know.
Do you
injured.
Think they should keep Zach Randolph, or should they trade him right now?
I think they need to keep Zach Randolph, because he was the key to their playoff performance last year.
I agree.
How do you think Zach Randolph has been spending his time away from basketball?
Probably going to funerals and strip clubs.
I think he's reading the classics. Who's a bigger upset spoiler, the Clippers or the Grizzlies? Who
The Clippers are the favorite. I mean, beyond OKC. I mean, if
I guess betting. I guess a better way for me to phrase that question is like, who of those two teams has a better chance of beating Oklahoma City in the playoffs?
I don't think we know until we see Zach back. I mean, if you're talking about an actual long shot, I believe the Grizzlies are 40-1 to win the title and 15 or 20 to 1. To come out of the West right now?
Mm-hmm.
Those are some good odds.
Those are good odds. I certainly think... I think that both of those teams are better playoff teams than the Spurs.
We'll see.
Well, obviously see, Chris, but I'm just
Are
saying.
You sure? Some catastrophic things could happen, Matthew. Maybe we won't get to see.
I mean, I'm just... You know... I mean, both teams will play hard, I'm sure, but... I mean, San Antonio has been very disappointing in the playoffs the last few years.
Yeah, after they were undisappointing before that, so...
Yeah, when was the last year they were undisappointing, then?
The year they went to the finals?
2007?
Sure.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that was a long time ago, man.
I don't remember anything that I thought in 2007.
I don't remember that year at all.
I mean... It was 5 years ago. I don't know. Other thoughts on the West. Houston is sort of taking a nosedive.
Yeah. They will be interesting to see what happens. Trade deadline. Any predicted deals, Matthew?
Okay, so for our audience, when is the trade deadline?
I have no idea. Soon. I don't even know
You're
what
today
is,
You're listening
to Matthew.
The Sean Kemp Redemption Podcast. This is
a somewhat informed podcast about basketball.
If you have questions about professional basketball, so Houston is voted the team most likely to swing a deal
by who?
By that was a vote that I just took, reading your mind and my mind. That they have assets. They have Kevin Martin, Lewis Scola.
Kevin Martin, a top 5 shooting guard in the league, isn't he?
I really like Kevin Martin.
Me too, I wish he was on the Bulls.
I think on the right, yes. On the right team, Kevin Martin is either a rich man's Del Curry or a poor man's Reggie Miller.
Wow, that's high praise, Matthew.
I really like Kevin Martin.
He likes you, too.
Does he?
Yeah.
Really?
He tweets about it, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I should follow Kevin Martin's Twitter more.
Is Dwight Howard staying or going?
Can he go to Houston? Can we tie these two things in? Can Houston possibly have the assets?
No, trade for they don't.
What about Kevin Martin straight up for Dwight Howard?
What about it? Not gonna happen. School has been slumping lately, so
I would defend that deal. I wouldn't defend that deal. I think that Dwight Howard stays because I don't see any possible way that... any team can ever come up with the right package right now. Unless the Lakers will trade Bynum and Gasol. They won't do that. Will they do that?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, what can he... And he has this, like, sort of like, well, I'll only play for these four teams thing, right?
Right. And also, I think the only way that the Magic should make this trade is if they get rid of Turkoglu's contract and no one's taking that.
What about Miami? Does Dwight Howard... Does he want to play for
He Miami? Wasn't on the list. Miami was not on the list of Howard's teams.
So it couldn't be like a Chris Bosh, Mario Chalmers trade or something?
I mean, there could be theoretically, but it's not going to happen. Dwight Howard wants to be the man.
Does he, though?
That's what he said. I'll take him. I trust him. He's a trustworthy man.
I don't trust Dwight Howard.
Really?
after the way he danced during the All-Star game.
It's true.
Well, if Dwight Howard stays in Orlando, does Orlando become like some sort of threat? And I use the word threat in quotation marks in the Eastern
Conference.
Like
a Cuban Missile Crisis threat, or?
Threat as in like, oh, ooh, that'd be threatening if we faced Orlando in the second round of the playoffs.
I mean, I think as we saw when the Magic beat the Bulls earlier this week, if they shoot 75% from three-pointers, yeah, the Magic can win a game.
Yeah.
They have great outside shooting. I mean, yeah, if they got hot, they could definitely beat anybody. But I mean, I don't think that's likely to happen.
I mean, it happened 3 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah. With Turkoglu as a point forward. And if that's their plan, it's going to work out poorly.
Who do you trust on Orlando? Do you trust Ryan Anderson?
That was the name I was going to say. I like Ryan Anderson a lot, aside from his foul troubles.
I think that Jason Richardson is still good.
I agree.
I think
Jimmy... He's also good at adultery.
Okay. This is a basketball podcast. I think that Jameer Nelson...
What do you mean? It directly led to his trade.
Yeah, wow. I think that Jameer Nelson is still good.
What did they get in return, the Suns, for Richardson?
For Jason Richardson? They got Steve Nash's life back in return.
Oh.
No, they got Vince Carter... you know, who used to be, you know, a really big deal. Well, Orlando also had to give away, Orlando, you know, happily gave away Vince Carter, but they also had to give away Marcin Gortat.
Oh.
And then Orlando also got back Hedy Turkoglu.
Which is sad for everyone involved.
Who promised to cut back on his smoking if he were traded back for Orlando.
Do you have any particular take on the Steve Nash situation here? There's been some backlash against Nash at this point. Yes, saying that him not being traded is now his fault because he won't request it. And that he just doesn't want to win. And he doesn't care. And he wants to stay with his excellent trainers in Phoenix.
I feel like... So it's like he'd rather have the cushy situation of...
Yes, the non-pressure of Phoenix.
Big man in Phoenix,
right.
Cool trainers.
Hanging out with Grant Hill.
That seems really unfair. I mean, I give him a lot of credit. I mean, like, if you worked at a place and, like, the best person at the place that you worked at, like... demanded to leave the place. I don't know. Like, that would be insulting to me.
But what if you worked at the Olive Garden? And
sure.
There was someone there who just, like, really was, like, didn't want to work at the Olive Garden anymore.
Yeah, that's not really... I feel analogous to the Nash situation right now.
I disagree. I'm pretty sure Phoenix is the Olive Garden of the NBA.
Well, the Olive Garden of the NBA and sort of, you know, I mean, both the Olive Garden and Phoenix have had a really solid tradition the last 30 years. I mean, if you look at both the Suns' regular season record and the Olive Garden's, you know, net profits.
And they both have unlimited bread baskets.
Yes, unlimited bread baskets. And, you know, a history of great point guards, yeah. So I think that's just sort of people looking for a new angle, something new to say. I think that Steve Nash remains the consummate teammate, the, you know, just a wonderful player and human being, one of the few self-avowed socialists in the NBA. An open Canadian. He's never turned his back on Canada.
How does Canada do in the Olympics this year?
I think that they do very well in some of the sports that no one will watch.
History Histories and Reflection.
This segment is called Histories and Reflections. It's, critics are calling it, the most anticipated segment of Sean Kemp Redemption yet.
Oh.
In this...
Wow.
In this segment...
I just pulled a good one, Matthew. I have a box of cards here. They're almost all baseball cards. But what I'm holding in my hand is the first basketball card I found, which was from Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Which had 9 cards that were perforated that you could pull out at the front of every issue. That's what they call magazines. Now, don't look at this, Matthew. I'm going to read you this little story on the back, and you tell me if you can identify this basketball player. Won the NBA scoring title in 84-85.
Bernard King.
Correct! Do you know what he averaged that year?
32.9 points.
That's correct. How many times did he score 50 points in back-to-back games?
Twice.
That's correct.
San Antonio and Dallas.
What happened after that 84-85 season?
He tore his ACL in March of 85.
And who did he surface with after that?
The Washington Bullets.
How many points did he average in 89-90, which is when this card is from?
22.4.
That's correct. All right, this also has a trivia question at the bottom that's a little New York-centric. Brooklyn is a borough of New York City. Can you name the 4 other boroughs, Matthew?
I believe they're Queens.
That's one.
Staten Island.
That's another.
Bronx.
That's correct.
And, Syracuse.
No. But it's close to Manhattan, so we'll give that to you. Is there anything else you'd like to say about Bernard King, Histories and Reflections?
Histories and Reflections, Bernard King. Chris has now handed me over this Sports Illustrated for Kids card. I used to subscribe to Sports Illustrated for Kids also. Sort of a niche publication. The card is in, like, Saved by the Bell sort of, like, graphics of, like, looks like sort of amoebas or something that are hot pink.
It looks like pants, a lot of that
background.
Era.
Yes, pants of that era. I think that's true. Bernard King,
did Bernard King ever win a playoff series with the Bullets?
No. Bernard King once made the playoffs with the Bullets. Bernard King was...
really good at basketball.
Really, really good at basketball. In 1984, he averaged 40 points a game in a first-round playoff series against the Detroit Pistons. That game 5 of the Pistons-Knicks first round playoff series is arguably the greatest first round playoff game in the history of the NBA. The Knicks were ahead by 8 points with a minute 30 seconds left in the deciding game. And this game was played at the old Cabo Arena in Detroit. You can watch it on YouTube. Marv Albert does the announcing. And the Kings were ahead by 8 points. Bernard King actually had injured his finger on his shooting hand, but it still, at this point, had like 34 or so points. Isaiah Thomas then proceeds to score in the next minute 30 seconds, last minute 30 seconds of regulation, his team down 8 points in a do-or-die playoff game. Isaiah Thomas proceeds to score 16 points in the next minute 30 seconds. The Pistons would have won the game in regulation due to Isaiah's heroic efforts if Bernard King himself had not made 3 huge baskets during Isaiah's, you know, amazing explosion. An explosion that even, you know, I mean, even Michael Jordan never did something as amazing as Thomas's 16 points in 90 seconds. Thomas, though, did at the end of regulation, the score tied at the end of regulation. Thomas missed a jumper that would have given the Pistons the victory. And the Knicks won in overtime. Bernard King dominated the overtime. The Knicks then went on to face the eventual world champion Boston Celtics in the 1984 playoffs, the second round. Way overmatched against that Celtics team, a Celtics team with Larry Bird at Bird's absolute peak, Robert Parrish. Parrish is absolute peak. You know, Parrish was, you know, an all-star center at this point. Kevin McHale, Dennis Johnson, Danny Ainge, all Celtics on that team. And the Knicks took them to seven games because Bernard King just went, you know, ballistic. And he had a game where he scored 50 points, I believe, to tie the series at two games each. So Bernard King, and then the next year, as we said, you know, averaged 33 points a game, and then got injured. I mean, so before his injury, Bernard King was, you know, a scorer, you know, equal to, you know, almost Michael Jordan in his ability to score, you know, any time during a game. Both a great consistent scorer like Jordan, but also like Jordan, someone who was even better when it mattered the most.
What do you think Bernard King is doing this Saturday afternoon? How is Bernard King spending his time, Matthew?
Bernard King, this is what we know about Bernard King personally. He's from Brooklyn. He went to Tennessee. He had an early history of cocaine and alcohol abuse.
Who doesn't?
But that's a rhetorical question. But he overcame that. He also overcame, of course, a torn ACL. Bernard King, famously known for massive ego, massive even by the standards of professional sports athletes. My guess is on this Saturday afternoon, Bernard King is saying the exact same things about Bernard King that I am saying about Bernard King.
Now maybe I did not mean to treat you bad, yeah, but I did it anyway. And then maybe.
Alright, Matthew, what was Rondo's line, his crazy triple-double line when Darren Williams, the same day Darren Williams put up over 50 points? What was Rondo's line?
We saw Darren Williams score 57 points this week. We also saw Rajon Rondo put up, I don't know, I have no idea.
It was 20 points, over 15 and over 15. An insane line.
Yeah.
Player of the day over a guy.
Crazy.
That scored 57 points. And before this, we were talking about inflated assist totals.
Very few people have had a 2015-15 game, by the way.
I believe the only other people were Oscar Robertson and Will Chamberlain.
No.
No? Will Chamberlain
Jason
didn't pass.
Jason Kidd had won 2015-15 game.
Well, that sounds fun.
I think Magic Johnson maybe.
Maybe. But inflated assist totals at the Sloan Sports Conference last week.
Held by Jerry Sloan.
In honor of Jerry Sloan. Still looking for a job, Jerry. Assists were called, I'm going to paraphrase here, a shitty stat. Because, as Nick Van Exel can attest, a lot of it has to do with score.
Yeah.
Can decide what is and is not as a, isn't, what's an assist. This will be accompanied with video of Rondo getting a bullshit assist. But I went back and I looked at Rondo's assist totals, home versus road, for his career.
Okay.
Last year, average. At home, 12.1. On the road, 10.2.
Did Rondo lead the league in assists last year?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm going to, maybe. Yeah, sure. I don't know. It's a shitty stat. Who cares what leads it? 09-10, 11 at home, 8.6 on the road. 08-09, 8.8 at home, 7.7 on the road. 07-08, 5.8 at home, 4.4 on the road. And his rookie year, 4.5 at home, 3.2 on the road. That is a massive, massive discrepancy.
Yeah, that is statistically significant.
Yes, and I look through many other players.
Sure.
Point guards to see what their discrepancies were in overall, yes, assist totals, home versus road.
Yes.
Derrick Rose, historically, has more assists on the road in his career than at home. Hmm.
Maybe Neil Funk is doing the scoring.
It's certainly possible. There was only one player. Everyone is pretty much even.
Wait, so you're saying, so wait a second. You're saying that maybe assists aren't a total bullshit statistic, but
no,
Rondo
they are.
Specifically?
I think Rondo specifically in the Boston scoring is.
So other, like John Stockton's old assist total.
Well, there's that rumor that John Stockton got 2 assists starting a game at home, and I looked at Stockton's numbers, and they're actually pretty much even. His average number of assists, home versus road, was between 0.5 and around 0.5 assists per game better at home.
What about Steve Nash, whose assist totals jumped up by a ton when he came to Phoenix from Dallas?
I think Steve Nash, I believe, is more or less even. There was one player I found who had a bigger discrepancy than Rondo, and I could only find one player. Home versus road. Yeah. It was Mark Price.
What?
Mark Price had 800 more assists at home.
Oh, no.
It's kind of ruining my image of Mark Price as the greatest basketball player of all time.
Oh.
Mark Price, I think, also got a huge Cleveland boost.
Oh, my gosh. This is...
it's tragic, really.
This is like, given our audience, this is like telling a little kid that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I mean, Mark Price is a hero. I mean, this guy.
He's a hero and a legend. And I can tell you the first name I looked up was Mark Price for a comparison.
No.
And I was like, oh my goodness, maybe there really is that big of home road discrepancy for most players. But there is not. It is Mark Price and it is Rondo.
And Mark Price's assist totals were never that impressive to begin with, so...
Yeah, so that was tragic and not good. But I just wanted to make the point, as always, fuck Rondo.
Wow, I'm just... I mean, I still think Mark Price was a hell of a player.
You agree?
those shooting percentages,
free throw.
Yeah, that guy...
Put him at the line.
Price was always right at the free throw line. Yeah, anyway, Rondo. Yeah, so I don't know. Has anyone called out the Celtics for this?
Yes, on some gambling sites, I think. All right, it's list time, Matthew. Are you ready for our top, let's say, 5 games? Here, you describe it, because games... Go ahead.
The top 5 games associated with NBA players attending funerals of family members.
And their game after... A death of a relative.
And their game after the passing of a close relative. Obviously, we try to be as precise and meticulous as possible on this podcast, and so we had a complicated formula in defining who is a close relative that we're happy to send anybody over email.
Do you want to... You have choice number 5, Matthew. Who are you taking?
So, just briefly, the category was inspired by the recent players have had to take time off because of dealing with
Amari, who seems to have a lot of dead family members,
and also Chris Bosh.
Yes,
I believe.
Chris Bosh also has a lot of people related to him.
Number 5, I'm going to have to go with... I'm going to have to go against the own list I just created and name the worst performance by a player following the funeral of a loved one. That would be the performance of Ben Wallace following the death of his brother.
Yes, that was a bad one. That one didn't go very well.
In November 26, 2004, the Pistons and Pacers faced each other in a much-anticipated rematch.
Pacers, number 1 in the conference.
Of the Eastern Conference
Pacers
Finals.
Pacers on track to make the finals.
The Pacers come into the defending champs' palace in Auburn Hills and smoke the Pistons, with Jermaine O'Neal badly outplaying a still-grieving Ben Wallace.
And at the end of the game, a Ron Artest... decided to, he was given the green light to foul someone, whoever he would like to make a statement. And he chose
Ben Wallace,
who was sad at this moment. And this escalated into the death of Indiana basketball, which has only been resurrected by Tyler Hansbrough.
Tyler Hansbrough, let me finish what happened here with Ben Wallace. So Ben Wallace gets really, really angry. He shoves Artest. Things escalate between Artest and Wallace. Then we have, you know, the malice at the palace. Everyone, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're not familiar with what happens next, then we've tapped into a new demographic. So Wallace plays a bad game and incites the worst moment in NBA history. I guess arguably the worst moment in NBA history. Some say the 94 NBA Finals were also really bad.
Yes.
But anyway, that's my vote for number five.
That's a good vote, Matthew. Number four, I'm going to take Chicago Bulls. Well, he's not Chicago. I'm going to take Taj Gibson.
Okay.
Last year, the Bulls on their circus trip, their annual circus trip, when the circus is here and for some reason the Bulls have to go out west and play on the road for a month.
Yeah.
They were 1-1 and they were going into future champion Mavericks home arena. The Bulls were 6-4 at the time and things weren't exactly looking up. Taj Gibson, starting for Carlos Boozer, who was out doing Carlos Boozery things and tripping sure. over bags and shit, gets a start, puts up a 17-18, including a massive three with the clock running out that gave us the infamous Taj Gibson smile. And the reason I choose this one sure. is because no one knew that his grandmother had just died. His grandmother, who had recently raised him, the entire staff didn't know. They were just like, Taj has been a little bit different.
Had he not missed any games or practices?
No, he did not miss anything.
Wow.
And he just came out, played the game of his fucking life, gave the Bulls a massive win on a road trip that they needed, had a good game the next night, then disappeared for the rest of the road trip. Because wow. he is Taj Gibson and he can only do so much.
He must have been exhausted after that performance.
He was very tired. And about a month afterwards, he said that his grandmother had died and it really affected him. But now he was better. To the shock of the coaching staff and the media. That is my choice for number four, Matthew.
That's a good choice.
Go ahead.
Number three. Best performance by a player returning from grieving from a loved one. I'm going to give this to Horace Grant's performance in the 1990-91 Bulls season. Grant actually sat out the Christmas Day tilt against the Detroit Pistons.
Did Harvey Grant sit out as well?
Harvey Grant symbolically refused to watch the game in his Washington, D.C. hotel suite. And Horace Grant sat out the game, and
and who got the start for him?
So, Stacey King gets the start for Horace Grant.
Number six overall pick, Stacey King.
Number six overall pick, Stacey King. The Bulls still looking to find a way to bring Stacey King into the rotation, even though Michael Jordan is constantly, in a preview of what he would do to Kwame Brown, constantly disparaging and tearing King apart during practice, and Stacey King not doing much in his play to stand up for himself.
But Jerry Krause wanted him.
Jerry Krause wanted him so bad. You know, it's rare to find a basketball player as out of shape as Krause himself. And so King starts the Christmas game against the Pistons. At the time, the Pistons are the defending champs, and the Bulls would win the championship that year. So, you know, this was a very marquee matchup. And Stacey King, according to Sam Smith's book, The Jordan Rules, Stacey King's girlfriend mocks Horace Grant's girlfriend. Keep in mind, Horace Grant not playing because he's going to a loved one's funeral.
But his girlfriend decided not to attend the funeral, to attend the game.
But his girlfriend attends the game and gets dissed by Stacey King's girlfriend, who's like, this is going to be permanent. My boy is going to play from now on. Blah, blah, blah. Stacey King's girlfriend was so wrong. Because after that game, Horace Grant reasserts himself in the starting lineup, starts playing the best basketball of his career, and begins to really establish himself as one of the best and most athletic defensive power forwards in the league, and, you know, the third key player in the Bulls, you know, along with Jordan and Pippen in the Bulls, you know, full court defensive pressure. So, you know, Horace Grant, his career kind of takes off after that. And Stacey King's career, meanwhile, continues its decline.
All right. Good choice, Matthew. For number two, I'm also going to somewhat break the rules. And I'm going to take Game 6 of the 96 Bulls Championship that was won on Father's Day against the Sonics.
Okay.
Michael Jordan infamously holding the ball, ripping it away from Brown at the end, and bawling on the floor of the locker room, which is Michael Jordan often talked about as a dick, because he is. But I think it's easy to forget how much these championships really did mean to him. That first championship and that championship against the Sonics as well. I think it's very humanizing of Jordan, and it reminds us that he wasn't just a dick. This shit really meant things to him in a way that it could never to Kobe Bryant.
So Jordan was thinking of his late father when he...
I assume so, because it was Father's Day and he cried.
Right, and his father had died in August of 93,
mm-hmm.
which some say contributed to Jordan initially retiring.
That and the gambling.
Right. So the number one performance... someone who grew up as a Pistons fan, I'm going to have to go with the number one performance, Joe Dumars' MVP performance in the 1989 NBA Finals. We know Dumars made the Hall of Fame on the first ballot, and we now see him as, like, a star, if not a huge star from that era.
How many All-Star games did Dumars make?
My guess is five.
Okay.
He, at this point, though, Dumars had made no All-Star games. And, you know, he was, along with Dennis Rodman and John Sally, like, another good young player on a veteran Pistons team. But, you know, in no way a star, no way, like, close to the star power of Isaiah Thomas. But during the NBA Finals, Dumars averaged... Dumars' father is ill, and he dies during the NBA Finals... Dumars actually, in between games, goes to a funeral. He doesn't miss any finals games. He averages 27.3 points during the four-game sweep of the defending champion Lakers in the NBA Finals. More than 10 above his season average. And, you know, just eviscerates the Lakers and establishes himself as both one of the best defensive and offensive guards in the league. And gives the Pistons their first title. There is, of course, you're probably, you know, wondering if I'm going to mention this, and I am going to mention this, there's a small asterisk to all this, because Magic Johnson, Byron Scott do get injured in the NBA Finals that year, but I think that even those injuries didn't happen until games 2 and 3, and that even with those injuries, the Pistons would have won, and Dumars had already, you know... played out of his mind, he gets my vote for best funeral-related basketball performance.
Good choice, Matthew.
Oh, can I say one quick thing about basketballs and funerals?
Yes, you may.
Okay, the most famous funeral-related basketball game is Game 6 of the 1968 NBA Finals. Between the Lakers and... I'm wrong. Game 6 of the 1968 Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Sixers. I said Lakers because this involves Will Chamberlain, but Chamberlain was on the Sixers. The Celtics win that game and eventually win the series in 7. Chamberlain claims that the Sixers sort of won that game, the series, and the NBA title that year. But they didn't think that the game would be played, because the game happened right after Martin Luther King's funeral.
Hmm.
And so the Sixers had not... Chamberlain, again, claims in one of his memoirs that the Sixers were not preparing for that game, because they thought the game would be canceled due to the MLK funeral. And it wasn't. And the Celtics, who may have also, though, thought... that the game would not be played.
Because they're Boston.
Ended up winning.
Yes.
So
racist win. Moral of the story.
Push the button, connect the goddamn dots! stop turning! When did you say we would all start burning? When should I make a pledge? Should I listen to the voices in my head?
All right, Matt, you want to take us out? Matthew, you want to take us out? Do you want to say goodbye?
I would like to say goodbye to everyone who listened. Especially everyone who's listening for the first time.
Where's David Gleischer? I thought he was going to be here.
David Gleischer is at a Magic the Gathering tournament.
Of course he is. What's his rank national?
David Gleischer is not ranked nationally.
Whoa. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I've been telling people we might have a ranked Magic player on this podcast. I've been full of shit, haven't I?
Yeah. That's not your fault. I mean, that's the fault of
David Gleischer.
David Gleischer is would have been our most high-profile guest, though, probably so far.
Probably. Other than Stacey King.
When Stacey King appeared, that was a popular but divisive show. Where is John Shin today?
He has a piano lesson.
John has a piano lesson. So those are our two slated guests and the reasons that they're not here.
Do we have another listener of the month, Matthew?
Listeners of the month.
Has anyone said they actually listened to this? To you?
Lee Fiorio said he did.
Oh, why don't you tell us a little bit about Lee?
Lee spent a little bit of time in Canada.
Really? He looks kind of Canadian.
French Canada.
Hmm. Does he speak French?
I think he does. I'm not sure.
Is his name spelled with a G-H or just L-E-E?
No. It's just L-E-E.
Okay.
It's very simple spelling.
Would you describe Lee as simple?
I would describe Lee as... yes.
Oh, wow.
Positively.
Oh.
I don't know, though, if he's the listener of the month, because he mostly just complains about our site's quality.
Does he know it's supposed to look shitty?
Well, he's saying that the podcasts are hard to access.
You mean clicking on it and having it play too hard?
He says that he needs to read the cached version of the website.
That's terrible. Lee, fuck you.
I mean, I like Lee, but yeah, I'm gonna say fuck you also to Lee. Fuck you, Lee.